Good afternoon. I'm John Keller, and this is the Trinity College of Florida podcast. Well, today we are privileged to have with us Dr. Krista Mallow. She is the Associate Professor of English, Chair of the General Ed Studies Department, Director for Interdisciplinary Studies, and the Director of the Learning Resources Program. And if that doesn't make you busy enough, she also is a mother of five awesome children and a fantastic husband. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Anybody who ever gives an excuse that they can't handle school because they're too busy just needs to come spend 5 minutes with you, because we know that you earned your PhD while being a mom, while working full-time. And it's not just being a mom. You're very engaged in your children's life. And Dominic, a recent graduate, your son, who's now gone on to finish his degree in this field that he wanted to study, completed his AA here. You are also very much involved in helping homeschool families as an advocate, and you even also run the something aside from the school, the Trinity Collegiate High School, which we're launching this year, which we're not launching, you're launching, as a just a great thing. So I always like to start from the beginning. How is it that you came to Trinity College of Florida?
Sure. Back in 2013, I was looking to make a job change. I had been a curriculum writer for Florida Virtual School, and actually Florida Virtual School went through massive layoffs that year, but my pastor, who was my pastor for about 12 years, was at that time a professor here at Trinity College. There was an opening for the English professor, and they were wanting to start a tutoring program that they were going to call the Student Learning Center. And so I interviewed and did a lot of praying and came on board back in 2013.
That's great. And then what made you decide to go get your PhD?
Sure. When I actually started teaching here at Trinity College, I was not certain that teaching full-time at the college level was what my long-term plans were going to be. But after I was here for about a year, I knew that I didn't want to go back to curriculum writing or teaching at the high school level, which I had done for many years. And so, although I had a master's degree, I wanted to be better qualified and equipped better to serve my students at the college level. And so I started pursuing a PhD in English education.
Definitely something well needed. So I know the students definitely benefit from the Learning Center. And we can start there, actually, because that's a great place to start. That this is one of the unique values of our school, that because we're not 10,000 students, we're not we are on a big campus. We actually have 45 acres. As I like to tell people, we are a stone's throw from Chick-fil-A and everything else on the planet. But we are a big campus, but we're a small campus in population. And students have the ability to come here to the Learning Center and get tutored by peer tutors. And they just make an appointment if they need help. In fact, some students are required to come here. They're coming in on academic probation. Maybe their academic credentials weren't quite what they should be, but they still qualified to get here, but they were forced to come. We must come to the Learning Center. So talk about the Learning Center. What is that really about?
Sure. It is now called the Learning Resource Center, and we do have two main focuses through that program. The first is working with students who are required to come for academic mentoring. And so that means that either through their admissions process or over their based on their records over the last semester, if they're a returning student, that the college has identified them as needing additional academic support. And so the college sort of requires them to participate in mentoring. In that case, the students work with me directly and also with peer tutors who are just assigned to come alongside them and help them manage their time and manage their syllabi, making sure that they're getting their assignments submitted, going through checking over their assignments before they submit things to the professors. And all of the peer tutors who are in the Learning Resource Center are students who are role models. They are, they've already demonstrated excellence in the classroom. They're leaders around campus, and they're actually very friendly, and they want to serve and support other students, and as it's really their ministry. to do that. Then the other group of students is the entire college. And so we actually support not just our students, but also our faculty and staff through some graduate studies that we have several who are working through that. But we do paper reviews, and we check MLA and APA formatting. And really just we have students who are taking classes. They want to talk more about what they're learning. And so they come down and they sit with our staff, and they just have academic conversations. It's a space in our library building where students can have academic conversations and also get support on assignments as they're working through them.
Thank you. That's very insightful. I know that this center has become a very popular place, and I see students here all day now, when before I didn't always see students here all day. And so I see them working in groups, and I see them with the Keurig getting coffee, and I see them, you know, sharing meals, but spread around the tables, working on projects together. I see a lot more activity since you've taken over that department, which has really been a big benefit for retention and for student success. I think it makes a big difference for them to be actively engaged, because we actually really do have great resources here. This when I look at the size of our library, sometimes I go, oh, we're not like maybe USF's library where you got your PhD. But it's all the same subject area. Like, the subject area of books that we have probably far exceeds any library anywhere that's close by, at least, of all the theology books and all the things that we have. And I know we have it for each subject area, but I've noticed as I've perused through the books, like, wow, we have a lot of really good content, not even counting the online stuff.
Yeah. Our library resources are actually so stellar that students in the entire Tampa Bay area who are enrolled maybe in online programs with other universities at the graduate level will actually come to our campus to use our library so that they have access to theological resources that they don't have anywhere else.
I had a library myself for a while, and I actually started getting rid of books. I'm like, I work at Trinity College. I don't need to be taking up space storing books.
For sure.
There's a few, though, I won't get rid of. So on that side, it makes, the help is here. And if someone's struggling, if they're, a 1.9 GPA student, really, they, if they're 2.5, if they're 3.0, they're 4.0. So there's a benefit to coming here and being part of the learning resources. And I mean, because it doesn't cost you more money, and why would you not ask for help? And you'll develop, some academic. I think people need to act. As I was a teacher, people need to develop something that I think is very important, and I think we all share the value. They need to become academically confident. I see the assignment, I know what to do, and get to it. And then they realize it's really doable.
Yep, that's actually part of, sort of the philosophy that I operate out of is I want students to know what they are good at and where they are really strong in something. I want them to use their strengths to overcome their weaknesses. And so maybe they're really friendly, or, they're willing to go and ask for help, but they don't actually see what they need help in. And so they'll use their strength to overcome their weakness, and we come alongside them with students who have been through the same classes that they have been through already, who probably felt the same anxiety and were overwhelmed at some point in time, but they overcame that as well. And so we do really seek to be that support. I do want to say something about, you mentioned it's kind of busy now this year. Thankfully, everything is happening face-to-face, which is fantastic.
Yes.
But we also do have availability online. And so all of our same tutoring services that students can get face-to-face, they can also schedule online for document review and also video conference calling to be able to work remotely if they choose to. And our peer tutoring staff is available so many hours now. We have more availability now than we've ever had before, from 9 in the morning till 9 in the evening, Monday through Thursday, 9 in the morning until 4 p.m. on Fridays, and from noon to 5 on Saturdays. So Sunday is the only day we take off.
Praise the Lord. I will say that I have experienced my own experience with the online part. As I've talked to students, they're like, I'm having a hard time with this or that. And my first question is, well, have you gone to and gotten the resources you needed? And so I'll text them if they're calling me or whatever, just a link, and then I never hear from them again, which tells me they got the resources they needed.
Yes.
And the help they needed. And there's really, it's just that sometimes we just don't know things are available. And I think I think it's a great value of this school to have that, because we need help. And sometimes It makes it very easy, though, when you can just walk, you know, 50 yards and you're in this center and you can get help. And then the second part, I think the next thing I'll talk about with you is that, you know, you really help all of the freshmen and sophomores that are brand new to school, don't know exactly what they're doing. They really like you. They really, they don't always like you, actually, but there's time videos on that, you know, like any professor, but they appreciate as they get move along, they realize, hey, I was equipped. My own child, I know that she can write a paper now and does very well because she, you know, had to learn how to do it. But in the general education classes that you oversee the entire department, because you not only do you have the general studies AA, there's other programs like Trinity Access AA. So if people want to go to school one night a week, maybe they have to work in the daytime. They can't come to school in the daytime. They can go to school one night a week and complete their general studies AA. They still have access to all the same resources. So it doesn't matter what department you're in. But you are their academic advisor. So let's talk about what that means. Because when a new student comes in, they don't know, oh, right, I don't know what classes to register for. Well, they don't actually decide that, sort of. So explain that.
Sure. If they have declared the Associate of Arts in General Study as their major, that means that they are planning to complete 2 years here at Trinity College of Florida and then transfer either somewhere else to finish a bachelor's degree or to stay on campus and decide later. So many of our students who are undecided about what they want a bachelor's degree in will first declare an Associate of Arts, and I encourage them to complete that. And then if they decide that one of our bachelor's majors here is right for them, then I encourage them to stay here, and then they don't actually have to transfer out, but they transfer into that bachelor's program. So the goal is always to try to get these students to complete their Associate of Arts degree within 2 years. And sometimes that means that they take 5 classes each semester for 4 semesters. Sometimes they lighten that load a little bit and make up for it by taking 1 or 2 summer classes along the way. But I really try to get to know the students when I go through the advising process, and I try to figure out a schedule that's going to work well for them and also keep them on track to meeting their academic goals of completing that degree within 2 years.
I really appreciate that. I'm looking at right now it is 15 credits a semester, typically. Depending on the person's situation, they might have been a homeschooler and already have earned some college credits. There's a lot of different things, you know, scenarios there. But they're coming in for their AA, General Studies AA. I'm looking at it right now, and they have definitely going to take some Bible electives. They're definitely going to take some theology courses as far as that goes. I'm looking at right now, like, the first class they take is College and Career Success. That'd be a fall class. So what is that class about?
Sure. College and Career Success is a class that teaches students how to develop the habits of mind that it takes to be successful in life and career and college. So they develop habits of mind such as persistence. Persistence is the idea that things are going to get difficult and you're going to keep moving forward anyway. That's one of the biggest habits of mind that is focused on in that class. They also learn time management and learning to collaborate with other students, learning how to advocate for themselves when they do need help. And everything is project-based in that class. It's 100% hands-on learning through that entire class, just to try to make everything as real and applicable to their lives as possible. One of the really cool things they do in that class is something that's called the Extended Service Learning Project, and that provides students with an opportunity to combine the college's Christian service learning requirement with something that they're doing in class. So they will volunteer in some capacity, either with their church or through YMCA or some other a missions organization, parachurch organization, and they take that volunteer service, they apply the habits of mind that they've learned about in their academic setting, and then they actually do a presentation to their classmates. So that project is very complex, involves lots of moving pieces. It's usually the thing at the beginning of the year that students say, I'm not going to be able to do this, and by the end of the semester, they are so proud of themselves for the work that they've done and how much they've learned to get there. But they do that usually in their first semester in the in not just our AA program, but that's actually a class that's for all of our degree programs.
That's a great clarification of that, and that I know that course itself beginning with that, is something that is just a required course. And so people are like, oh, it's like in college and career success, what could it really mean? But I know from experience working with my own child, went through that course, the hands-on, I was a little surprised, like, wow, this is interesting, because it's not sitting here listening to wah-wah lectures. It's mostly, no, you're going to get out there and actually learn how to do this. And the only way you're going to learn to do it is by doing it. So that has been it was a unique experience for her, but my daughter, when she went through that. But I will say that it is an effective way to get people to, how do I do this? And build some confidence, like you said. I think that, and being a self-advocate is extremely important in the education world. I want to flip over to the other degree. I don't want to waste too much of your time today, but I do want to talk about this degree that people ask me, what is an interdisciplinary degree? What is that degree, and why would I want to do that? Because a lot of people that are undecided, sometimes I think they take that degree because they figure this makes the most sense. So what is that degree?
Sure. So interdisciplinary studies means that students are taking courses that are major courses in two or more of our other departments. So, for example, education, Christian ministry, counseling psychology, or business organizational leadership. They take classes from two or more of those majors, and they tailor their degree program for whatever their vocational desires are. So,
gotcha.
For example, the person who was a student who inspired me to write this program the way that it is came to me saying that he was planning to go teach at a school in Costa Rica. He was planning to teach English and Bible at a school in Costa Rica. And it was a Christian school, obviously, for teaching Bible. But he said, we don't have a degree. At that time, we don't have a degree that helps him prepare well for that job that he already knew. He had a connection already through some missionary work that he had done, and that was the job that he was going to secure for himself after graduation. He said that he wanted to take classes in education, and he also wanted to take Bible classes and ministry. And he said, how do I combine these into a degree program? At that time, I can't remember what year it was, maybe 2015, we did not have a degree program that was going to meet his needs. We sort of forced everyone to choose one degree and stick with it all the way, which caused lots of students to sort of change their major and then end up losing some of the credits that they had taken that didn't really count towards their degree.
Right.
So in this way, students are able to combine those major courses to fit what their long-term goals are for themselves. Also, for students who are, we might say undecided, it's not that they're necessarily undecided, it's that they want something that's a lot more well-rounded. Instead of specializing in one area, they want to sort of be able to generalize with whatever comes next for them. And so that's what we allow them to do. It is very heavy on the Bible and theology credits, more so than some of our other degree programs. It has 54 credits in Bible and theology.
Wow. Which is more than you'll get, almost more than you'll get in some seminary degrees.
So. Yes. And just thinking about the seminary programs, if students are planning to go to seminary with this degree, there are actually several seminaries around the country that acknowledge lots of our Bible and theology classes as graduate level work, and so
right.
They'll get transfer credit for much of the theology courses that they take here.
I think the Greek too, right?
Say that again.
Maybe the Greek as well. I'm not sure.
Yes, if they do our Greek classes, yes, that usually transfers up to graduate level as well.
My own experience going to seminary, I didn't realize I could have transferred some classes. But when I got in some of the classes, I was in graduate school, and I was like, I already know this material. In fact, I used the same book when I was at Trinity, and here I am in a university working on a master's degree at the time, kind of laughing because I was like, I didn't really learn anything in graduate school other than how to get better at research. I already knew the foundations from my own experience at this school in the subject areas that I was studying, so I know they really do drink from a fire hydrant here on that. So students are out there, I appreciate your time today, and not to go too long, but is there anything you'd want to share with someone who is thinking about coming to Bible college versus a secular school? Because I know you have thoughts on this with your own children, and I really respect your opinion on that. What was your, as a mom, put that mom hat on, what was your motivation in bringing your own children to come to Bible college?
Sure. There's lots of crazy stuff going on in the world right now.
That's a good answer.
And the secular institutions. So all of my formal education has been in the secular world. I was not a saved believer until I was 27 years old. I had two out of my three degrees were already completed before I was a believer. And when I started my doctoral program, I made that decision to go to a secular university for my PhD based out of geographical convenience because it was, you know, USF in Tampa is just, it's close by.
It's a really good school, too.
It is a good school, but there were classes that I sat in where I was attacked by my professors because I was not an atheist, and everybody else in the room said that they were.
Right.
I don't know that they were, but they said that they were. And when it came my turn to talk, I talked about Jesus. And I talked about, just for example, one of the courses I took was colonial literature, and the professor constantly was talking about how the Christians sort of destroyed lots of, you know, things that he was giving wrong interpretation of the history of Christianity across the African continent, especially. And I don't want my children or your children to have to experience what I did in that way. And anybody who attends a university, a secular university, is going to experience that to some degree. And we really want to believe that we've raised our kids to be strong enough to overcome that. But I wasn't really well prepared as a believer, as an adult, as an educated person to face my professor, because he still had control over my grades. And there were lots of things, lots of points of contention with my professors in my education program, in my literature courses, in my research courses, where we just completely disagreed. And I would have to listen to my professors talking about their personal experiences with their transition from one gender to another when they went through that for themselves, or talking about their life choices as if and the gender and sexuality things come up very pervasively. And it's really a problem. When you've raised your children in the church and then you send them to a secular school, you are asking for them to engage with that culture. And maybe you want them to engage with that culture, but you don't necessarily want them to be immersed in it without being well prepared for it. So here at Trinity College, you know, we don't expect our students to live in a bubble of protection, but we want them to know how to use the Word of God to defend their beliefs. They're going to take classes like apologetics, so they know how to study the Word of God, how to defend the truth of God's Word. And even in our AA and General Studies classes, our students are still going to take courses that are going to help continue to shape their worldview, help them learn to defend their worldview, and really to continue to strengthen the faith that that their parents have already helped them to develop. But also we're going to help them own that faith themselves and to help them come to their own saving faith, a better understanding, I should say, of their own faith in God.
I really appreciate that perspective, and I can mirror some of the things you said. My son went to Denver, CU Denver, for school and college, his choice, because he was a GI Bill and he lived out there. And it was just a geographical thing, and he experienced a lot of the same. He would not tell people that he was a combat veteran or that he was in law enforcement. He would absolutely keep it to himself, because he wanted to pass. And there's some crazy things, like you said. I think you summed it up very well. It's a crazy world we live in. You know, I look at moms and dads that are out there like us, who are raising their kids, doing the best we can. And, you know, there seems to be sometimes a bias against sending your child to a Christian college or a Bible college. And Christian college is actually different than Bible college. And it's another podcast. I talked to Ken Yada. We talk about that. But the biblical worldview is developed and strengthened on this campus. That's what it's always been from the beginning. We're strengthening your biblical worldview. We're equipping you to defend the faith, as you said. But we're also teaching you the core things that you need to know, especially in general studies. I know we use a lot of the same course numbering system that the state uses in order to certain, we have matriculation agreements with some schools that see someone gets their AA, they want to transfer somewhere. Their English cop and is going to transfer in the state of Florida because we use a state numbering system, so those courses. But some of the Bible courses are not going to transfer. So could you talk a little bit about the parent that says, I'm going to send them there for 2 years, but I want them to go become an engineer. However, in saying that, your own child did go to a school that, if I'm not mistaken, he was able to transfer his AA to. So talk about transferring credits and, you know, the hesitancy to send them to Bible college because they want to, they think there's some advantage to sending them to a secular school.
Sure. So I know that there is some bias, and there are, you know, Bible colleges are not all the same, and there are some around the country that are, they're not accredited, and there are some, there's one really actually fantastic Bible college over in the Orlando area that's very well known, and they kind of make a big deal about themselves not being accredited.
Right.
We, however, we are an accredited institution, and because we are accredited, we are recognized. Our accreditation is through the Association of Biblical Higher Education, and that accrediting agency is recognized on par with the regional accrediting agencies across the country. And so it is kind of a big deal that we are an accredited institution that allows our courses to be transferable. So that being said, some of our courses are actually easier to transfer out of state than they are in state, and some of our courses are easier to transfer in state and not out of state. So starting with the state of Florida, because that's where most of our students do seem to transfer within the state, we are part of the statewide course numbering system. So all of our courses in the general studies department and many of our courses in our majors are part of the statewide consortium. There's, I believe, a little over 120 institutions across the state that all recognize these courses as being transferable. So if somebody takes English composition here at Trinity College or St. Petersburg College, USF, University of North Florida, it's the same course number, it's the same course description, it's the same course requirements, faculty credentials must be equivalent, and that course is transferable. So all of our general studies courses meet that requirement. And that makes them all transferable to other institutions within the state of Florida. Our Bible classes are absolutely transferable to other Bible colleges and many Christian colleges. If they have Bible or biblical worldview or anything, world religions types courses, ministry courses as part of their curriculum, our Bible classes will transfer to those schools as well. And some of those are much larger institutions than we are. My own son completed his associate's degree here and then transferred to one of the largest online universities in the nation. He had no problem transferring his credits. I shouldn't say no problem. There were some classes that they did not automatically transfer, but he had the opportunity to appeal, and so all we had to do was actually send a more detailed course description through their process, and then in that case he was able to transfer all of his classes. And he's working on a degree in information technology. So,
but she already got a job before it was even.
Yes, yeah, he did.
He is brilliant, to say the least, but he is definitely well on his way to a very good six-figure income.
Yes.
And brilliant at what he does, but he's a learner. He wants to learn. He is and having worked with him a lot, he really wants to understand everything.
Including the Word of God.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
When he was here as a student, he was as fascinated with all of his Bible classes as he was with everything that he was learning through his IT internship that he was working through.
Yeah, I always kind of laugh when people say, oh, you home, because he was homeschooled, oh, you homeschoolers are so sheltered. And I jokingly say, yeah, my daughter's been sheltered from school shootings, drugs, and I sheltered from all the things I don't want her to be near. But our children are not missing on anything.
They're, not at all.
In fact, it's the opposite. They're actually socializing at a much higher level. Higher intelligent people. And that's probably one of the unique values of that. Well, I appreciate your time today. If someone wanted to ask you a question about any of these things we talked about today, or if a student has a learning disability, we've had students with, you know, I don't like to use the word disability. I like to call it a different ability. Having a child with a disability, with an IEP. I've seen us have students here. We have really helped those students do well and, you know, work with those students. But if someone has a different ability or they have questions about our programs and capabilities and how can we can help, they can email you at Krista, K-R-I-S-T-A, dot Mallow, M-A-L-L-O, at trinitycollege.edu. You can go to the About Us page, you can click on faculty, and you can find Dr. Mallow very easily, and you can email her, and she'll be glad to answer questions. Anything else that I didn't ask you today you want to share?
I think we covered quite a bit here today, John.
Awesome, awesome. I appreciate your time. It's always a pleasure. And remember, everybody, God calls, we equip, and you advance.